Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I think it's an exciting opportunity for us to now sort of set off on a new direction. Play football and a great environment that embodies the values and traditions of this fantastic football club.
Bentancourt!
Through for Pedro Toro, and he smashed it in!
Oh, that's a great stop from Vicario.
And Kulusevski rolls it in!
Ben Davies!
And it's a run! Sun goes on, and scores! Richarlison! And it ended up in the back of the net! Here is Lo Celso, freshly introduced and scores!
Chance for Sonoma! That is quite something from James Maddison.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We are your award-winning Tottenham Hotspur podcast, and we return for the big match preview. And not any big match preview. We're previewing Arsenal. We're previewing the North London Derby. We're previewing a huge game in Tottenham Hotspur season. If you are listening for the first time, where have you been? We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're across all major audio platforms. We're, of course, on X. We are on Instagram, we're on Facebook too. And back for a heavyweight clash is a heavyweight panel. I'm joined by actor Ricky J. Norwood, returning Richard Cracknell to this show, Crackers. And also, look, an opposition guest. Now, for those that have listened and watched Last One on Spurs over the last 7 or 8 years, we know we don't normally make an allowance for opposition fans to come on Last Word on Spurs. But we do normally afford this man to come on twice a season. Look, he's a man that I think many feel tells it as it is when it comes to the rivalry between Spurs and Arsenal. He's very honest in regards to the fixture. And a man that, of course, you normally see him over at AFTV or a number of different Arsenal social media sites that he's very honest about his team, passionate about his team, cares about his team. But he's very honest when it comes to this derby and the rivalry between the two clubs. Lee Judges is back on Last Word on Spurs. And Lee, it only feels right to open up with you as the guest to this show because Spurs welcome Arsenal for a huge North London derby on Sunday in which for both teams will have big implications. For Arsenal, it's the title race. And for Spurs, it will be a case of can they still finish inside that top four? Now, Spurs have had 15 days off since that 4-0 humbling at Newcastle, in which in that time, Aston Villa have taken a firm control over the fourth spot, having played three times during that gap. Meanwhile, for Arsenal, if we recorded with you last week, it felt like they were almost out of the title race. But since then, they've racked up back-to-back wins over Wolves and then thrashing Chelsea to mean the pressure is back on Man City to produce the good. But it does feel going into this weekend's game that another Arsenal win would surely end any of Spurs' hopes for qualifying for the Champions League. And meanwhile, a win for Spurs could similarly end the Gunners' season aims. So it feels a really poignant clash in relation to the point of the season where it's firmly poised with regards to the magnitude of this game. Lee, How are you, mate, Fursey?
Bloody hell, Rick. You never told me you was an Arsenal fan. Right, I'm off. See you later.
The judge is in the building. Leo, are you my man?
What can I say? I can't say I'm delighted to be here. I can't say that, you know. But listen, as we were saying, it's I love the rivalry between Arsenal and Spurs. I love it. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. A little story. We was playing Man City in the FA Cup. I was going down to London. I live in Cheshunt, so you can imagine it's Tottenham-based train station. But I thought, it's bloody busy round here, isn't it? Like, what's going on? I forgot that the game was on. I thought, oh, for Christ's sake, like, you know, it's full of them. The train's absolutely full of them, like, you know what I mean? And I thought, well, I'll try and sneak on the back. Hopefully, you know, I won't get beaten up or anything like that. We're getting a bit worried. And people are coming up to me, hello, Lee, how you doing? All right, can I have a photo or anything like that? I'm going, what am I doing here? Like, you know what I mean? It was quite a pleasant ride to Tottenham Hour, you know? So, so be nice to me on Sunday, guys. Be nice to me, like, you know, when I'm walking down the road.
Rick, I've got a little train story for you. Ready for this? You know, in a previous life, I used to be a tube train driver, didn't I? On the Piccadilly line. Of all places, stopping at Gillespie Road, of course, as I always used to call it.
Come on.
I'm working one Saturday afternoon coming back towards Cockfosters, and I'm due to get into Gillespie Road at about 2:45. So my train is absolutely hammered with them. Absolutely hammered. And I think they were playing Newcastle as well or someone. So train packed. So I get to King's Cross and it's about, I suppose, it's about 2:30, 2:25 to 3. Loads of them on board. So all of a sudden I've got onto the PA system and I've gone, ladies and gents, sorry to tell you, but there's a signal failure ahead of us at Caledonian Road. So we'll be moving very, very slowly. Anybody attending the game this afternoon at Highbury, it was that long ago. You might want to change here for the Victoria line, get off at Finsbury Park and walk from there. Now, I know that if they done that, everyone's missing kickoff by about 10, 15 minutes because it's a proper slap. I must have had 1,000 gooners get off my train and I'm sat at the front pissing myself laughing. I pulled into Gillespie Road and they have all the station assistants there and managers to make sure people are getting on and off the trains properly. I've opened the door and just two old boys got off. That was it. Someone come up, Cracknell, what's going on? No idea. No, this train should be packed. What have you done? I don't know. It ain't my fault. I can't control who goes football, can I? And just drove off laughing. So, it was had a good afternoon that day.
I don't know where we go from here.
That's the rivalry for you. That's the banter. Yeah.
Rick's, love to be back on Last Word on Spurs. Now, the irony of it is, of course, we went into this enforced break with Pedro Porro being a doubt. And we come out of it with Destiny Adogie being ruled out for the season. I mean, you feel only those kind of things can happen to Tottenham Hotspur. We go into a break with a player as a doubt. We come out of the break and we've had one out for the season. And Pedro, as we know, still doubtful, but back in training. But in relation to Adogie, look, we had the news break, obviously, on Saturday evening now, which feels a long time ago, in which it was confirmed that Destiny Adogie's season has come to an abrupt end due to a left thigh injury requiring surgery. Look, the promising fullback has made a really strong impression for Spurs in his debut Premier League season. 30 appearances across all competitions. We know he won't feature again. And a statement from Spurs read, "We can confirm Destiny has undergone surgery to his left quadriceps, having sustained an injury in training earlier this week. The defender will continue his rehabilitation with our medical staff and expected to rejoin the squad during pre-season." So it does mean for Destiny, he's also going to be out of the Euros, which is a massive, massive blow. But he's a young player with a huge future. And you know what's interesting about Destiny? Look, when he received that ban, I think he's shown such a maturity since then, in which I don't believe he was actually booked since. So that's the credit to give that man, that ultimately there has been a bit of a wobble recently in form, which you may attribute down to the fact that he's now having to require surgery. But there's no doubt about it. He has made a real, real significant difference in his debut season in the Premier League. I think we all can't wait to see him back in a Spurs shirt. And it would appear, you'd imagine, that Ben Davies will probably be the man that comes in and fills that void on that left-hand side. I think it's extremely doubtful that Ange will probably want to change too much in terms of moving maybe Mickey van der Ven to the left-hand side. And I think it'd be great to experiment in a derby, but to give everybody some confidence if they need it with regards to Ben Davies. Ben Davies has never been on the losing side of a home North London derby. So, Ricks, tell me your feelings on that injury to Destiny and just how big a blow that is to not have him now available for the rest of this season.
It's a massive miss, massive blow. He's been ever-present throughout the season. We've seen him have great games. We've seen him have mediocre games. But like you said there, the last 3-4 weeks, we haven't seen the best of Udogi. And maybe he's been playing with this injury. Maybe he's been playing with this niggle, which kind of... Maybe that's why we've seen those type of performances. But this is almost like a reflection of our whole season, where every time we think that we've got all our eggs in one basket, one cracks. Do you know what I mean? And then we've got to go for a melon instead of an egg. Do you know what I mean? Or some stupidness like that. So it's just a reflection of the season. And it's all about the character of the boys. It's all about those that come in. So whoever comes in now, whether they switch van der Ven to left back and bring in Dragusin in centre back, or whether they stick out Ben Davies on the left, we got to have faith in these players. You know, they're our players. They're wearing our shirt. You know, they're going out there to represent us, and they're going out there to fight. They're going out there to battle. So whoever it may be, they've got to come in there and kind of give us the best that they've got. And I have no doubt that Alan Ange is going to fire them up to kind of make sure that they give them the best that they got, you know, especially after a loss, especially after that Newcastle loss where there was no real kind of true character in our play. And Ange demands character. He demands fire. He demands heart. He demands honesty, you know, and with all of the injuries that we've had over the season, especially in over Christmas when a lot of people were out, you saw that we've played with 4 fullbacks and we still went out there and gave teams a game. You know what I mean? So I have no doubt that whoever comes in will come in and fight for the badge and they'll be fired up to go. I'm not worried about this game. I think this game comes at a perfect time. It comes at a perfect time after a loss at Newcastle, after feeling shame, after feeling that kind of punch in the gut of, you know, being able to keep pace with Aston Villa or to put some pressure on them at that moment that they missed that opportunity. Right now is to see whether these almost new group of players can come along and change the course of where the tide's going. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you learn your lessons? Can you put your best foot forward? Can you go out there and play with everything? Can you go out there and not worry about them? Let them worry about us, you know? And vice versa or on the Chelsea game for the Gooners there, you know? Them having a 5-0 win against a terrible Chelsea side. And I'm not saying that individually. I'm just saying they looked terrible when they was on the field the other night. I think that puts them into a kind of a false sense of security. It might not be false, actually. It might just be a sense of security that they don't have to worry about us, that they can come in and we've not 5 past Chelsea. So this is going to be a cakewalk. And then, you know, you find out what happens, you know. It's never what you think it's going to be. The Gooners have got everything in their hands. They've got the momentum. They've got the squads. They've got a manager that's been there four seasons now. You know, that has implemented his way, that has got backing from the board, that has got a £100 million midfielder that is doing, you know, a good job there in the centre of the park. They've got no real excuses, you know, and especially if they're fighting for the title, they've got no real excuses when it comes down to the game. It's up to us now. It's up to us now to kind of go out there and be the best that we can be for not just this game, but for the last 6 games. What do you really want to achieve? Where do you really want to go? Are you that ambitious that you can kind of fight right now to secure your place for next season and all of the things that we want to achieve for next season with a big summer transfer window ahead? So for me, I'm kind of, yes, it's a blow that your doggy's not there. But for me, I've got faith in whoever comes in to come in and fight and to come in to give it everything. And it's a great way for anyone and everyone to make their name. We know that Danny Rose made his name against the Gooners, you know. There's a ton of people, you know, that have done it before. And now it's the new generation's time to make your mark. So go out there and make it happen.
Look, Lee, we bring you here, I'm 48 saying this, fresh off the back of Arsenal recording a 5-0 impressive victory
over Chelsea. Look, if there's any other team giving Chelsea that battering, would have been quite happy about it. But it was you boys, of course. And look, I think I've got to go and say that if we had recorded this show 7 days before where we're recording it, it would have been a very different outlook going into this game. Arsenal have obviously recovered with the wins against Wolves, with, of course, when you look at the fact of that performance against Chelsea and the manner of it. How do you feel, Lee, in the last 7 days in terms of that mood change? Because I'll be honest with you, mate, I think many, even Spurs fans, I might say they watch a little bit of the Forever Arsenal, they see you on there. And again, very similar to last one on Spurs, it is derided by emotion, derided by performances, by the nature of them and the way players are performing. And we've seen your mood change slightly over the last 7 to 10 days. So,
yeah,
how do you feel at the moment going into this one for you?
Listen, a week ago, I was in Germany and we was getting done. You know what I mean? In Germany, like, you know.
You got a lot better at that point.
Yeah. And it was a disappointing week. But, you know, as my mate turned around and said, look, you know, it could all still turn out right for us. And if Carlin done results, this could be it. You know, obviously, like, we lose to Aston Villa, making them guaranteed top four. And obviously, like, then somewhere like Manchester City crumble and we end up winning the league. It'd be a great, Carlin, it'd be a great, great set of results. But the Aston Villa game, no jokes aside, forgetting about whether they can get top four and whatever. That was the one that hurt me. That hurt, you know, because it was in our hands after Liverpool. Yeah, after Liverpool lost to Crystal Palace, which was a shock. I then felt that that was a hard week to take. And I'll tell you what, the Wolves game was difficult. Wolves weren't great. And I was thinking, oh, really dreading the Chelsea game, really dreading going there. Because even a draw is no good for us now. But that game yesterday has given me confidence going into to this game. This game is a massive, massive game for us. I think that a point's not good enough for us now. I really do think that, like, you know, Spurs know that. And if I'll be really honest, and I'm not being contradicting when I say this, like, you know, forget about what's going on and all that. Beginning of the season, beat Tottenham at home, drawing them away, I'm biting your hands off for it. You know what I mean? So you've got that result against us at the Emirates. So, you know, I would still say I'd take a draw if it weren't for circumstances, because I know how difficult it is to play at Spurs. And the worst scenario for an Arsenal fan is to lose this game or draw it and knowing that Spurs will think that they've done what they've done to us. You know, obviously there's other games that have gone on before that, but there's no better place than winning at Tottenham. There isn't, you know, you guys would say the same.
Yeah, likewise.
It is something special. So if we was to go there and put in a performance like I know we can, that gives me confidence. As Ricky says, I understand what he's saying. They're going to give us a game. And of course you are, like, you know. And if you're a betting man, like, you can't really say who's going to win it. I can't say that we've chest out that Arsenal are going to go and win this game comfortably. Like, you know, you just don't know. Anything can happen. But I feel we're in a good place. I think that if we was playing you last week, you know what I mean? I don't know how I feel, but I do feel a little bit more confident going into this game because of the last couple of results. And if we do become lethal, like, I know it sounds silly, I know we got 5 against Chelsea yesterday, but I didn't think we was that clinical. We missed a lot of chances, you know. We have to be clinical against you. We have to take our chances. So it'd be a really good game. And look, over the years, there's been this thing where Tottenham, Arsenal have been better than Spurs. Spurs have been better than Arsenal. But it's you know, the last couple of seasons, there's not been too much in it, like, you know. So it'd be an interesting game. I think, if I'll be really honest, it pains me to say it, I think Spurs were a slightly better team at the Emirates. I think, you know, that's my opinion. You know, I wasn't happy with the way we played that day, giving Spurs credit. But listen, I've just seen that Everton have just scored again. Like, you know, this is what I'm saying. You're telling me that Everton are a better team than Liverpool? They're not. But, you know, it's a Merseyside derby. It's a derby game. Anything can happen in these games, like, you know. So that is the way. Listen, I always say this. When Arsenal were the best team in the country by a country mile, and we was at one stage, when we went to White Hart Lane, we very rarely won there. you know, very rarely won there. They were tough, tough games. Even in the Invincible year, got a 2-2 draw. There was times when we was, you know, 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go. I remember, like, you know, the Sol Campbell return, you know, Robert Perez scored 10 minutes from the end and he nicked one right at the end. It's never, never easy, like, you know, and that's why I always got that worrying feeling when I go to Spurs, because it doesn't matter how better we are or how worse we are. And listen, we've gone to Tottenham, I'll tell you what, when we haven't been at our greatest and come away with something. And in particular, when you've been far, far better than us, you still couldn't beat us at home. So that home advantage is massive. It is massive. I don't care what anybody says, you know. And what makes it worse now, there's 60,000 of you bastards in there instead of 30, you know what I mean? So it's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher, like, you know.
This game, everything goes out the window. It always has done, it always will do. As Lee said, the form goes out the window. As we're seeing tonight, Everton now 2-0 up against Liverpool. Everton shouldn't be anywhere near Liverpool. Mm. But the fact is they're 2-0 up because, you know, Everton, the Evertonians have made it an horrible atmosphere. They've, you know, been on their backs. They've got right behind their team. And come Sunday, what you can do is just make sure you're competitive all over the field. You know, you win every tackle, you win every header, you give every last ounce, you just match them. You know, they're not in front of us for things like effort and guile and a bit of bravery. That you create yourself. There's no form with that. That's just within you. So, you know, if you go toe-to-toe and you battle for everything and the crowd's bit with you and you know, just creating that really, really almost toxic atmosphere, if you like, who knows? Who knows? And look, I want to see Spurs win because I want to see Spurs win. I always want to see Spurs win. I don't like the fact that if we win, it derails them winning the league. That's wanky West Ham territory, isn't it? That, you know, they just turn up every year to spoil everybody else's party. That's what they do. But if that's a byproduct of it on Sunday, then so be it. On a bigger picture as well at the moment with the league, I mean, you're seeing Man City and what they've done, Chelsea and what they've done, points deductions here, there and everywhere. You kind of look at it and you go, well, how can anybody live with Man City when they've got these 115 charges? They've not been running the place right, allegedly, at the moment, if they're found guilty. But with Arsenal, you have to, taking your Tottenham out off, you have to look at it and go, well, they have done it organically. They have built the club. They've done what we've done, before us. They built a new stadium. They got bigger revenue streams. You know, they appointed a manager. They were brave with some of their decisions with players that they got rid of and smart with the players that they got in. Went through a bit of pain with Arteta and come out where they are now. So that kind of gives me a bit of a hope as a Tottenham fan that if our board, you know, can get things right and throw a few quid at this, which they now have, it is possible to go toe-to-toe with the likes of the state-funded team. So it will kill me if they win the league. It will absolutely kill me. But on the other hand, you have to look at it and go, well, there's a model we can aspire to because we haven't got a state funding us. We've got, you know, we're self-generating. And if another club self-generating can do it, that means we can do it. In fact, we can do it and some because the club as it stands generates more money than pretty much anyone anyway. So, you know, there's on the bigger picture, there's that to look at. But Sunday, we have just got to, we've got to compete. We have to compete. Yep. To be able to do something. We absolutely have to. It's a bare minimum.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
This game, I think, is going to hinge on certain things in the game. And I'll tell you why. If there's 10 minutes to go and it's level, what do Arsenal do? It's not good enough that Arsenal draw that game. So they're going to have to make silly decisions, make things out. So it could be that way. And it Spurs then on the other hand could be losing and they're going to throw it in. You know what I mean? So there's scenarios in the game. Like, you know, if I'm a Spurs player and a Spurs manager, I'm saying, look, let's keep in this game for as long as we can. Like Aston Villa did. Yeah, Aston Villa should have been blown away in the first half, but they weren't. And then the more the game went on, the more Arsenal tried to do things that they shouldn't be doing because of the pressure and whatever, you know, like anxiety football, I call it, like, you know, getting anxiety when they're playing and all that. So I think Spurs are, I don't think they've been found out. I don't think they've been found. I'll tell you what hasn't helped Spurs. You haven't been, it's sort of like you've played a few games, then you've had a stop. Played another few games, had a stop. Then you've had another stop, like, you know. You know, you need to get momentum going in your season, like, you know. And I think, like, sometimes, like, we was in that a couple of years ago. Oh, we ain't got European football. We can concentrate on this and concentrate on that. And then you've got 2 weeks off and then you're kicking your heels. Now, if you've had a good result, right, you're waiting 2 weeks for the next one. If you've had a bad result, you're waiting 2 weeks for the next one. Like, I don't think it's a good thing. So I think you need to be in more games. And that's another thing that I think that probably hasn't helped Spurs. If you have a look at Arsenal since they've been going well, playing here, the momentum's going all the time. Like, you know, Tottenham have stopped four or five. So I think they had 3 weeks off one time, you know.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. You know, that ain't healthy, you know. And it's like now, you know, you lost to Newcastle, right? What do you do? You know, how are you going to get the intensity up for this game? Like, you know, let's kick lumps out of each other in training, or we've got to go and have another game. But if you have the game in between that, I'm pretty sure you guys would have liked to have played last Saturday and got that out.
100%. And I think that's been the problem, isn't it? I mean, the fact of the matter is, Crack's coming over to you. We've had this situation where we have suffered some of the defeats this season and we've had to wait then 2 weeks to respond. And that's been lingering and sat with us, where I think, as Lee's right there, if we had the opportunity where we could have responded to Newcastle fairly quickly, I think there would be hopefully a bit of a different mood going into this game. And look, don't get me wrong. I think, as we've said, Spurs versus Arsenal can always throw up, you know, different kinds of results. And I think, like we know, form does go out the window. We're seeing that across the Premier League at the moment. I mean, Cracks, for you, where will the game be won and lost? What do Spurs need to do for you that are going to win them this game?
Well, I think a lot of it's dictated from the midfield. To be honest, I think Lee's absolutely right. When we get our moments, and we will get those moments, we have to finish them. We have to finish them. And that's where the worry lies with me, because Sonny's looked a little bit off of it with his finishing to where he was. Werner, I know he's not there as a finisher and his stats as a provider have been fantastic, but he does find himself in those moments and he has to take them. He does have to take them. I mean, Kulu has been off of it as well. So, you know, he needs to find something again on Sunday. Basuma, he's got to get back to where he was at the start of the season. He just looks a shadow of the player that he was. At the back, you know, Mickey van der Ven's going to have to be right on it, as is Romero, and they have been this season. The goalkeeper has just been unbelievable. I think he'll be a busy boy on Sunday, but we got to compete. We have to, every 50-50 ball, as I said, we have to make sure that we come out with it or disrupt. And then when we do get those moments, we do have to take them. We absolutely have to take them. So it's just a case of going out there and competing. We have to compete. There's a different pressure on them, isn't there, to win it? That's what I'm trying to say. Of course, we'll want to win it. But there's this almighty pressure almost. If we get to 75 minutes, can we take advantage, as Lee said, like with Villa, they started to try to do things that they don't normally do. Will they do that at Spurs, thinking a draw is no good for us here? We've got to win this. So does that open up opportunities for us? That's what I'm trying to say. It's there will be a pressure for us to win it, but there's just this almighty pressure on Arsenal to win it. So maybe, you know, maybe that comes into play.
Yes, Villa have got the points in the bag right now, and they had a great result against the Gooners. You know, when they've been tested, they've shown up, they've stepped up. And to be fair to Villa, over the season, they kind of deserve to be in the place that they're in right now. We've been up, down, and, you know, we've been all around, and we've had our problems, we've had our injuries, et cetera, form, all of that jazz. But we're still in the fight for it right now. So there is six games to go, and there are big tests ahead. You know, Villa have also got some tests coming up themselves, you know. So I just think that there ain't no ceiling, there ain't no floors. You know, like the manager said, I think that we should always be ambitious. I think that we should be aiming to finish as high as we can possibly finish. I think the boys should be aiming to win every single game. Because, you know, when it comes down to winning the league, you've got to kind of have that mentality. So I'm not saying that we're out of the title race at this point. But if you have ambitions to be that way, then this is the test right now. You know, forget a pre-season. This is almost like a kind of pre-season for what are your ambitions going forward? You know, what type of player are you? Can you go out there and not just speak about being ambitious, but go and show it and go and be ruthless and go and be clinical? So I think there's still a lot of football to be played before that top four race is over. But whether we get top four or whether we get Europa League, you know, all of us would love Champions League. But, you know, finishing in the Europa League position is no failure. You know, we was eighth last year. We had one of the worst seasons that we've had in a long time. We lost our record goal scorer, you know, our talisman, the one that Lee loves the most. You know, he's already admitted to us off screen that he loves Kane. But we won't talk about that. We won't talk about it. But, you know, we did lose him at the beginning of the season. And there was a lot of people that were saying that we was going to be in a relegation fight this year. And we're not. We're up there. You know, we've shown fight. We've shown a willingness to change and a willingness to play Ange Ball and a willingness. I know he loves Ange Ball as well, but a willingness to play.
No, actually, you know more secrets, Rick.
Sorry, Lee. Sorry.
Doing a bank job with Ricky. Do not do a bank job with Ricky, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, where were it was him. You know what I mean? Like, unbelievable.
Wasn't me, mate. Wasn't me. No, but there's definitely, you can see that these boys, you know, are loving the way Ange wants to play. They've got a brotherhood amongst themselves, a unity. There is definitely a unity in our squad now. And our squad's been broken for a couple of years. You know, we have had divisions and stuff like that. So it's up to them now. It is up to them. I don't think that finishing in a Europa League position will be a failure. I think that finishing in the Champions League position will be fantastic from where we was last year. And it's down to the boys now. It's down to the boys. So, yeah, let's go to war, bro. Let's go to war. It's all about the 3 points. I'm never going to be thinking about a draw.
Lee, I want to come over to you. Look, we know comprehensively now that Liverpool have been beaten by Everton. And obviously that means for Arsenal, they've got the opportunity, of course, at the weekend to stretch their lead over Liverpool by a further 3 points, which would take them 6 points clear of Liverpool. Now, we know when you had this opportunity to do that against Aston Villa, it didn't go to plan. I want to ask you about that word pressure and just how big that word is for you as a fan going into this, because obviously you do feel this is now another opportunity for Arsenal to really put some distance between themselves and Liverpool. You've mentioned the fact they're out going to Tottenham, Wild Lane, the Tottenham Stadium. How do you feel your team is going to cope with pressure the last couple of years? Is there any difference in what you've seen from this Arsenal team?
100%. I'll tell you, there's a few things, you know, pressure. As a fan, you feel the pressure. It's totally different going from top four, chasing top four. We did a couple of years ago with you guys, you know, to when you're challenging for the title. It's so much different. Like, there is so much pressure. And obviously, there is on the players as well. And you can see that Liverpool, like, the pressure is probably got to them a little bit, like, you know. Also, results. And I think that we're sort of forgetting about this. This game can change on what happens before this. Aston Villa, I think, are playing Chelsea before you. Now, if Chelsea were to win that game, they go 9 points in front. But if they lose that game, all of a sudden the door's open for top four. And it changes the complexion of the game on the Sunday, like, you know. So say, for instance, if, how can I say it, like, that Aston Villa win that game, you know, we can go out a little bit more relaxed. But if they were to lose that game, you know, you tense up a little bit more. Like, I definitely see that against us, against Aston Villa. I see us playing a little bit under. Do you know, like, Martinelli had a shot against Bayern Munich when, if he was in for, there wasn't the pressure, he'd just smash it. But you think, oh, I've got to get it on target. I've got to make sure I get it on target. All those little things come into play. So, listen, there's pressure on us. I know that, like, you know. As a fan, there is, you know what I mean? You go to the game, like a game yesterday, I was sort of like, why is that clock going fast? I want it to slow down. I don't want it to be 8 o'clock. I don't want it to be 8 o'clock. I don't want Sunday to come, like, you know. You want it to just, that's how it is. So, well, we feel it as fans. I'm pretty sure the players feel it as well, like, you know. So, is that there's teams like Brighton at the moment, Wolves where the pressure's off them, where they can go, right, do you know what? I can go and play against Arsenal. I can go and give it my... But if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. We know there's pressure coming on. And there's parts of games, as I say, like, you know, 20 minutes from the end, that we were 1-0 up against Wolves, right? I'll be genuine. I don't know if you might have felt like this when you was going for a Europe run in Cups as well, whatever. I'm comfortable that we're going to beat Wolves. And then it gets to that stage where there's... If they score now, there's nothing we can do about it, territory. Mm. You know, if I score now, that's it, it's gone. And that is when, like, you know, you've come all over funny and like that. And then when Odegaard scored that, like, there's a relief. So for it. So this is what it's like now for both teams, you know. I don't think that Spurs are out of top four yet, by the way, because Aston Villa still got Europe to play in. They've got a lot of games to play in and all that, like, you know. It can still happen, like. Spurs have got some horrendous week coming up, haven't you? Like, you know, we've run a fiction.
I think that's one thing. It could be like a horrendous week on paper. We could write some wrongs by. Yeah, it could be a wonderful week. I mean, these are the weeks I think we've gone past in Spurs' history where they had that week under Harry, if we remember, where they beat Arsenal and Chelsea and got into the top four. So there are weeks in Spurs' history where 100%. Many doubted them and they've come through it. And I think, you know what? I do feel, Ange, because of the nature of where we are at the moment and the kind of rut we're in at the moment to some degree, I feel like Ange needs a big result in this next 7 days. And I think if he gets a big result against Arsenal or Chelsea, that gives everybody a huge impetus about what's to come in the final remaining games of the season. Lee, I've got to ask you a side question quickly. On the back of that 3-0 against Conte, if you was told at the time, maybe you felt it, that the difference in trajectory between the two clubs and what would have happened, would you have believed them? Because I think every Spurs fan after that 3-0 win at the Lane under Conte genuinely felt it was a huge result in terms of a momentum shift, maybe long-term. I know Conte wasn't a long-term manager, but it just felt Spurs going into the Champions League, Arsenal, of course, not getting the top four, felt like a really pivotal moment. But does it really show you that football really, from season to season, doesn't really dictate what can happen long term? Because you look at Arsenal over the last couple of seasons, they've been right there, we hate to say it, and they're there again this season, and they're there longer than what they was when you compare it to last season, right?
Yeah, listen, I took no consolation from anything from that 3-0 defeat, you know what I mean? Like, you know, at the end of it, other than that, if we went up to Newcastle, we could still it was still in our hands, if you remember rightly. It was that, you know, and then obviously it wasn't. But generally we knew, like, you know, we only needed to get a bloody point there, you know. But anyway, like, at the end of it, if you'd have said to me, and I don't know if anybody, it's a real weird thing. If you'd have said to me that day, look, you're going to lose to Spurs 3-0, but over the next 2 years, you're going to challenge for the league, you're going to have run all over them in points and all that over the next couple of seasons and win the league. I don't think that moment that I was feeling that, I don't know if I'd take that, you know what I mean? Because that was a hard, hard thing to take, like, you know, like, we got stuffed that day. And of all the times that I've been following Arsenal, I've had three times when we've been outplayed. Do you remember the last time at White Hart Lane?
Yep.
When we lost 2-0, could have been 5 or 6. When we lost 5-0 when George Wood was in goal, like, you know, you won't remember that, but I bloody well do, like, you know. And that game there, like, you know. So, listen, at the end of it, I always felt Arsenal on a good thing. Like, I believe me or not, you know, I don't care what anybody says, and, you know, you got to stick with managers and all that. First of all, under Arteta, when we was 8th in the league and getting pumped by everybody, you know what I mean? I weren't happy with it. And if someone would have said to me, oh, in 2 years' time, you're going to be this and that, I still wouldn't have believed it. But listen, Arsenal kept their faith in him, and we are a bloody good football team now, like, you know. Did I see us going that way? No. I did in the summer, though, when we signed when Saliba come back. I see us as a different side. I didn't see Tottenham. I don't think Tottenham have really dropped off that much, if I'll be really honest. It was more of the performances, wasn't it? Like, I think that Spurs have been 4th, 5th, 6th over the last couple of seasons. But this season, you're in 4th, 5th, playing a lot better brand of football, which I think, like, you'll all take. So I don't think there's been a massive drop off from Spurs and a massive improvement from us. I think that, do you know the one thing that I will say is the difference between us and a lot of other teams, and I'm going to put Man City in there, is consistency. You know what I mean? Like, it is consistency. We're consistent now, you know. We get games which... There were times when we'd go and beat Chelsea, and then, like, we'd go and lose to Wolves or go and draw. You know, all of a sudden now we tick off the boxes that we have to do, like, you know. So I think that's the difference that I see, a little bit more ruthlessness with us. But, you know, it's still not quite good enough to topple Manchester City at this moment. And that's the reality of it. The Champions League's great, but there's some ropey refereeing in it. There's some, you know what I mean, like, some crappy games, if I'll be really honest, you know, like, where, you know, you expect to win and you win in the group stages. If you do the group stages, I know it's changing next year, but you can go, oh, these two are being it, these two are being it, these two are being it. You can roughly say it before they even play. So I know that, oh, this holy grail of getting there and everything, like, you know. So, and listen, I'd love to win the Champions League, you know. We've got, you know, all the years we've been here, we've only got the one final, like, you know. And listen, and you'll know this as well, it's a special, special thing to get to the final, like, you know, the semi-final and the build-up to the final special. But, you know, Cracker said a great thing a little bit earlier on, like, you know, Tottenham is run as a football club, like Arsenal. Like, you know, they're proper football clubs. They always have been, like, you know. And when people turn around and say, oh, like, and I always say this, when people say, like, Chelsea are a bigger club than Arsenal. And I go, listen here, Chelsea are not a bigger club than Spurs. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a fact. You know what I mean? Arsenal and Spurs are the two biggest clubs in London. Always will be. Always will be. Because I tell you this now, if Spurs were at Wembley, they'd fill it out. If Arsenal were at Wembley, they'd fill it out. Not many other teams in London could fill it out, like, week in, week out. Like, when you was down at Wembley every season, you was getting massive crowds.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I do think a football club should be built on what the fans are and everything like that, you know, the bigger the thing. So, I ain't saying that just because we're on a Tottenham thing. I've always said that. If you want my honest opinion, you know what I mean, from what Spurs have been over the past 20 years and whatever, like, you know what I mean, of football, when they don't get top four, like, you know, oh, it's a failure and all that, bloody hell, you're up against some big clubs. You're up against Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal. You know what I mean? Like, then you've got the clubs like Chelsea and Manchester City that buy, Newcastle now that are buying it and all that. Like, Aston Villa, a massive club, you know? And it's the same for me, like, maybe a bit arrogant in the past. Oh, Arsenal should be in the top four all the time. Well, I've had my lessons learned, you know what I mean? If you don't do it properly and don't do the right things, you will go down there. Look at Manchester United, where they are now. Like, if you're a Spurs, and I say, like, if you're a player now, where would you rather go, Spurs or Man United? You know what I mean? Like, I think Man United are in disarray at this moment in time. Like, Spurs are on the up, you know? So, because you miss out on something here and there, I don't know if it's the being an end all. Spurs are doing all, unfortunately, are doing all right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and they're challenging and on that front of, you know, they're challenging for the Champions League, you know. And there was a time, a little story, one of my Spurs mates, remember when you beat Luton? He turned around to me and said, 1-0 with 10 men. He goes, that's what champions do. And I went, well, how would you know what that means? Like, but that's the sort of attitude that you've got from what you've been doing, that he believed at that moment in time that Tottenham could go on and win the league. Isn't nothing wrong in that. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong in that. Like, you know what I mean? Whether you feel you will or not. And it's the same for us when people say, oh, they bottle it and all that. Like, I'd rather be where we are challenging for the title than being Chelsea or Man United at this moment in time. And I think that's something that you have to weigh up on everything like that. Spurs are capable of beating anybody in this league on their day.
I mean, that is a fact.
Probably capable of losing to them. And that's where you've got to get that consistency.
Rick, I wanted to ask you that question around the kind of side one with relation to Arsenal and the way they have, in the last couple of seasons, obviously seen a turn to obviously now be competing for the league. Because I think that serves as a reminder for us, as you've said often, Rick, you know, we're part of a process here under Ange. We're in the first season of that. Of course, the man will hopefully get another window to bring in the players that is going to be right for his system, that he sees as long-term what he wants to go with. So, how important is that, as kind of Lee was saying there, Rick, that we do genuinely trust the process? We give the manager time to build, because as Lee was saying there was a number of, you know, times during the early periods of Arteta where things weren't going well. They weren't themselves being pubbed and having that inconsistent nature. How important is that, Rick, you stick by the process?
I think we can use it as an example, mate. You know, the Gunners, for a while, they had, you know, when Emery was involved and stuff like that, there was a point where nearly every Christmas, the fans were calling for the manager to be out. But then they got hold of Arteta, and even though he had a bumpy road the first couple of seasons, they believed in him, they believed in his way, and they believed in the way in which he saw football and the way in which he saw the growth of the club and the supporters and the ambitions and all of that. And the board backed him and they believed in him. And little bit by little bit, the fans were there. You know, some were there with him from the beginning, but some dropped off. But then little bit by little bit, he found his feet. And I think it's a great example of finding the right man and the right character for your club. Not every manager is going to do great at your club. Do you know what I mean? As we've seen, Mourinho didn't do great, you know, overall. And Conte got us into the Champions League, but wasn't the right fit for us. But I do believe that Ange is the man that can take us forward. I believe in him as a person. I believe in his fundamentals. I believe in his philosophy. I believe the way he talks about football. I believe in the way he kind of creates that kind of the discipline within the squad, but plus the brotherhood as well going on. I love that he wants to recruit players more so on character than ability. You know, we've had a couple of those signings over the years where we've gone, oh my gosh, they're amazing. Ndombele, for example, absolutely amazing. Go out there, spend all the money, pay the money. We paid the money and it turned out to be a failure because fundamentally his character wasn't the best adapted to what we wanted or what we needed. And somebody who should be kind of fighting every week in the Premier League. And other cup competitions as well. But so I love that he wants the character to be the fundamental attribute that a signing should have to kind of be signed by Tottenham and to kind of be moving forward. So I believe all of the things, all of the right things that he's doing, you know, we saw a great litmus test in those first 10 games of what his philosophy is and how it can be deadly, how it can be ruthless. I think also, I mean, maybe this is me just jumping ahead a little bit, but I watched Bayer Leverkusen versus Werder Bremen. I think it was Saturday, and it was their title winning game. And I watched it from the second half. I didn't watch the first half, but I watched it from the second half. And, you know, they play very similar football. It's a very similar philosophy, and they've gone unbeaten this year. You know, if I then watched them again against West Ham, where they had a terrible first 45 minutes, like Tottenham, we've had terrible 45 minutes. But then in that second half, they went out there, put the right players on, changed it up, and suddenly they went out there and they beat West Ham, you know. So I think there's a lot of similarities. I'm not saying we're the same, but I'm saying there's a lot of similarities in the way that we want to play and the way that we want to attack and the way that we want our whole team to rotate and interchange and push forward, always keep pushing forward. And you could look at like Leverkusen as an example of that. When we can do that consistently, like Lee was saying there, it's all about consistency. When we can do that consistently, who knows what we can achieve? Who knows? Who knows how great this team could be? And I think that's an exciting thing. You know, I think that's why we should believe in him. I think any time that you've seen a team of his, whether it be at Celtic or Brisbane Roar or, you know, or any one of his other teams, Australia, they've had that. It's the one thing that they've had. They've had total belief in themselves and the guys beside them, in their ability, but most of all in their character to keep pushing forward, in their character to push them over the line and to win in crazy circumstances. And because of all of those things, I think Ange is the man, regardless of the bumps. And we're going to have bumps, and we've had bumps. But bumps test your character. You know, in even in life, you know, not every time is a good time. It's only when you're challenged with a bad time do you realise what type of person you are. Do you react emotionally? Do you react aggressively? Do you take two steps back, take a minute, listen to it, and then try and intellectually go there? And that's what it's about right now. That's what it's about right now, to to see Ange for who he is and what he is and what he's bringing to this conversation, what he's bringing to the debate. And I think he's one that we can believe in, trust in with money, and trust in that he's going to have the right foundations and the right ideas to push us forward, to get us where we want to be.
We need a Ricky J. Norwood speech. What we are going to do, we are going to go for our final break of the show for our listeners and audio.
Hi, everyone. Crackers here with your Legends event update. Thursday, the 16th of May, Woodville Hall's Gravesend, Kent. The one and only Paul Gazza Gascoigne is coming to town for an evening of tales of life in and out of football, supported on the night by James Black and his trusty guitar, bringing you some sing-along anthems as well. What an evening. Please go to the Woodville Hall website for further ticket details, or give me a mention across the socials at Mr. Cracknell, and I can put you in touch with the people that can help you out with your tickets. So that's Gazza coming to Gravesend Thursday the 16th of May for a fantastic evening out. See you there. Come on, you Spurs.
Hi there, this is Russ Williams from The Last Word on Spurs. A few years ago, I researched and wrote a book about the huge physical and mental benefits of one simple form of exercise. It's called How to Walk Yourself Healthy and Happy, and it's helped thousands of people all over the world. Now, I've created an audio course which helps people maybe like you prevent five serious life-threatening conditions and protect themselves for the future. For example, this form of exercise is the closest thing to a silver bullet for conditions like high blood pressure and high cholesterol levels. If you're over 40, this is the information you need and the simple plan to protect yourself and get results. Risk-free, visit walkyourselfhealthyandhappy.com/audio-course or click the website link in my profile on X.
Thank you so much for your incredible support for the show. We're joined by actor Ricky J. Norwood. We're joined by the wonderful Richard Cracknell. And returning, it happens only twice only of a season. We've got Lee Judges, of course. Arsenal's very own Lee Judges there. Look, we're going to get right into this in terms of what we're expecting team-wise. Lee, we'll start with you. Arsenal, any real changes that you can see from that Chelsea game coming into it? I mean, it does feel like there's a real genuine confidence sweeping through the team. Any weak areas, Lee, as well, I might ask you. I mean, Ray has been one where, look, for those that, there's a guilty obsession where some do listen to rival podcasts. I've heard a little bit of doubts over at the Forever Arsenal podcast, Lee, about Raya, potentially long-term, about whether you'd be looking to maybe do something there in the summer or whether that comes a bit later on. But tell me, team-wise, what do you feel might change for you, if anything, for this game?
The only thing I might change, and it'd be really harsh if he brings in Martinelli for Trossard. Trossard's been brilliant the last few games. But if you do play that high line, you know, that little bit of extra pace in Martinelli could be something, like, you know, to look at. Other than that, we've got Thomas Partey back now, who makes a massive difference to us. You know, I see someone said Arsenal been lucky with injuries. We've had two of our players out all season. Like, you know, I don't think that's lucky. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to ride them, like, you know. And so that's what we've had to do. So, yeah, I don't really see us making too many changes, like, you know. So I think that I think that it wouldn't surprise me if it's the same team. It wouldn't be surprised if it's the same team. It could bring Jorginho. I think I'd stick with Partey, like, if I'd be honest. So I don't think there'd be too many changes from.
I get the feeling, obviously, of having Partey in there. That gives, obviously, Declan Rice a lot more ability to then roam with the ball. Right. Yeah, and that's what I know you guys have been looking to do.
Yeah. He's just got, you know, he's just a wonderful player, like, you know, if I'll be really honest. And, you know, I can't speak highly enough of him, you know. And I just think he just adds a little bit more to his game, those driving runs. I think when he was at West Ham, he weren't allowed really to do that so much. But now, and he hadn't really been able to do it with Arsenal, if I'll be honest, because he's playing in that role of the holding midfielder. But now it just gives him a little bit more license to just burst through and you know, even that first goal, I think that, you know, if Thomas Partey wasn't there, he wouldn't be able to do that, and that releases us for the goal. And the thing that I like about it is by doing those sort of runs, it commits players. You know, if you know, the defender has to come out, and that leaves a hole back and whatever. So, listen, I think he's key. I think, you know, like, listen, he's a £100 million player, and that's why he's worth £100 million, because he is top class. So, and I just think that Thomas Partey in there releases him a little bit, like, you know. So hopefully that'll be the case. So, I think that Thomas Partey will be key for our next three or four games. I know, like, people saying, oh, Chelsea are this and Chelsea are that, like, you know. Well, we'll see how good Chelsea are when you go and play them. And also...
Oh, don't worry. Cole Palmer will be fit.
They was also very, very good against Manchester City, like, you know, but I just think, like, with Thomas Partey in there, that midfield of Partey, Rice and Odegaard is a top midfield if all fit, like, you know. That's my opinion. So I think midfield's always key in games of football, guys. You know, it's won or lost in midfield. I know, like, you get chances, strikers and all that, but if you win that midfield battle, chances are that you're going to be on top for the game, like, you know.
And I think that's why, Lee, again, on that point where you think that Arsenal have kind of found their midfield, whereas Spurs, to be honest with you, we haven't really seen come over to you cracks the same Basuma that we saw in that opening 10-11 games, as you kindly put earlier. We've got the situation of Pat Matasar, where he's still nursing this back injury to some degree, which is obviously stopping seeing the absolute best of him. We've got Bentancur that is still recovering, of course, being out for a long, long time. And I think that's the case for Spurs, isn't it? We haven't actually found what the desired midfield is yet. And Maddison as well. I think the thing with James is that we know he's a very talented player. I think we've seen with Madders where, again, when he gets onto that unbelievable form, he's superb, but it does take a while from injury to get that player back. And it's just, you would really hope on this game on the horizon, you've got those players in form, but we haven't really got that. So is that a concern, Cracks? When you look at Arsenal and just how solidified their midfield is, we're not really at that. But can it all come together, Cracks, in a game like this? And what midfield would you like to see if you're picking a team for the weekend?
I think of Basuma, Maddison, Bentancur, but then they've got to be on it. They do have to be on it. They might. Yeah. I think Madison's playing with an injury, if you ask me. I think he's
feels
carrying
like it. Feels like
something.
It watching.
And Yeah. I would not be shocked if we get to the end of the season and then Maddison misses going to the Euros, either by not being picked or by having to have some surgery, because that ankle just doesn't seem to... He seems to struggle with that all the time. I think Spurs are desperately missing something in midfield, almost like a Stevie Perriman, somebody in there that's just going to give you a little bit of something, a little bit of bite. We need a Højbjerg, but a better Højbjerg. I don't know whether that's Gallagher, Conor Gallagher. We just need somebody that's going to drive us a little bit and give us a little bit of something in midfield. It's lovely to watch, but it's a bit flyweight, if you know what I mean. And I think you do need somebody that can go and put their foot in a bit, or just go and do the dirty work, and then get hold of those around them by the scruff of the neck and tell them, to get hold of the game and get on their game. Our midfield options are a bit limited, really, so we're just going to have to play what we've got, and just hope that they give us something, that they just, for this one game, if nothing else, just go and give it absolutely everything. But the thing is, somebody like Bissouma, if he is on it, he's a destroyer. Destroyer, and Maddison as well. But if they're both on it that day, then they can go and get something out of this. They can make things happen. So I think Lee's absolutely right. I think midfield is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. So we're just fingers crossed that they're all at it, on it, had a bit of a rest, and it's done them good. If the lack of momentum hasn't, I think, we was talking about that them 2 weeks, 3 weeks gaps, they are no good after the Newcastle debacle. Would have really benefited from a Europa League game versus Legia Trousers or Dynamo Cheeky Girl or something, and giving them a little bit of a walloping and a tune-up, just to give us a little bit of match sharpness going forward into Sunday. So, but look, let's hope that rest has benefited, and the energy's good, and they're on it in midfield for Sunday.
I bet you can't wait, Rick, next season if we're in the bloody Europa League, or if we drop down to the conference play and all these Dynamo Donuts to come. You've got Lee there doing a Forever Arsenal podcast and the bloody Champions League games, and then we are on the ITV4 version. You can't make this up.
I enjoyed it.
Crackers is on that show, brother. It'll be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Mate. I look forward to that. At 1 a.m. in the Canary Islands, me and you, Rick, the only two saps that are agreed to do the show. And how did we look in Bratislava this evening versus Inter Milan? Yeah, oh, it's great, Rick. I actually went to the game. Even Ryanair didn't fly there. It was a 4-hour coach from the nearest airport. It was fantastic.
I enjoy some of those Europa League games, though. If you go to the Bayern Munich's and you go to the Real Madrid's, the big stadiums and all that, if you go to those little ones sometimes, like Bodo was unbelievable. What a night that was.
I went Braga. Braga with Tottenham a few years ago. Oh, that was absolutely fantastic.
It was a great night.
Brilliant town square, lovely people. Yeah. The stadium was about 12 miles out of town, and we missed the last coach taking away fans back. And it was the only ground I know where we walked uphill to it and then uphill back again. I don't know how. It was like an MC Escher painting in that town, but it was a great trip.
Yeah, I enjoy those ones,
Look at Lee trying to butter us up with bloody Europa League, trying to get us to buy into this concept. What are you doing to us, Ricks? Before we come to predictions, we've got some decisions to make in terms of defensively, of course. Look, Pedro Porro, we understand, is back in training. As I must just say quickly, is Richarlison in the forward area. But for you, is it just a simple decision of bringing Ben Davies in terms of that left-back role, or would you be looking to do anything experimental? Because I think that's the concern. It's a derby. You don't want to tweak it too much. Ben is a steady Eddie. Would that be the route you'd go down, just to bring Ben in for, of course, the loss of Odoghi?
Yeah, I think it's that's the easiest solution. I think the braver thing to do would probably be to put Van de Ven on the left and to bring in Dragosin. But then it's hard to bring in somebody like Dragosin who hasn't had the rhythm. Yep. But then you could say that about the whole squad. They haven't really had
We've had 15 days off as well. So you just wonder.
So it depends. It really does depend. I mean, but for me, you know, on the midfield issue, and this might get me pelters as well, but for me, I would actually drop Bissouma, bro. I think he's been subbed off at half-time.
I'm with you. I'm the same as you. I play Saar in there. I play Maddison and Bentancourt. That would be my three. That might be a little bit less defensive, but I would do the same as you.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I would take Bissouma out because you have to have consequence for action or inaction, right? And we have seen that bits and pieces wise, but he's been taken off, you know, the last three games, if not at half time, at 60 minutes. And for me, for this type of game, I would put Højbjerg in there. I know that you said Saar, Ricks, but for me, the Vikings, he's a warrior. Do you know what I mean? And he's been totally professional. We know he's been out of the limelight, out of the starting 11 for a long time. But every time he's come on, he's given us something, you know. And for me, if I'm really, really honest, I see him better coming off the bench. But I think there has to be some consequence for Bissouma to almost like wake up. Now, the thing is that I think all Spurs frustrations come from we've seen how good he can be. We've seen how good he was at Brighton, one of the best midfielders in the Premier League when he was there, just before we signed him. He's had a topsy-turvy time with managers. And then he's got this manager that loves him, that trusts him, that believes in him, that said to him in pre-season, look, I see you as one of the leaders. I see you as somebody who can mentor, who can show the way to the young ones that are here in this squad. You know, but you got to step up. And we had that initial kind of reaction from him for those first 10 games. And then after that Chelsea game, after the yellows and then the red and then the suspensions and then, you know, the AFCON Cup, and we haven't really seen the best Bissouma. He recently got dropped from the international squad a couple of weeks ago. And I would have thought we would have seen a reaction from him. And we saw a bit of one, but we haven't really seen the Bissouma that we know can be there. And I think that's where the frustrations lies, because we've seen how good he can be in this system. But sometimes you've got to feel a bit of burn and you've got to kind of kick the fire to stoke it up, you know, inside. So I think if he was put on the bench, and that doesn't mean he can't come off the bench, but if he was the one to be sitting down on the bench, I think that might be a better lesson for him right now against the Gooners, our North London rivals, big, massive game at the stadium, at home. You know, I think that says something to him. You know, in other words, like, we don't want you to waste your potential. We want you to be the best that you can be, but we need to rely on you. We need to be able to rely on you in those positions. And if malaria has hit you, and if there's a niggle injury or whatever the case may be, then all right, cool. Well, you sit on the bench and let somebody who's fit and firing, and even though we all know that he's going to be sold in the summer, he knows it. Everybody in the club knows it. Every fan knows it. But Højbjerg is a professional. And he's a Viking and he's a warrior. And I think that he would be one that would turn up with a bit of grit and a bit of leadership to kind of go out there for this particular type of fight.
I hear you on that, Rick. I think for me, I think the only reason why he won't start, I mean, I think you said it there, part in your, you know, statement there, is I think he knows he's going to be off in the summer. And I think Ange is looking ahead to what's to come rather than what is in the past. And I think Højbjerg is part of the past. And don't get me wrong, I think you can come in and trust him for 10, 15 minutes, but ultimately, I think he's looking to build for the future, where, again, I think that's probably why we'll start with Saar. Want to go to predictions, if I can.
Agreed.
Oh, right. Cracks, let's start with you, my man.
Goodness, he's at the time. Blimey.
And you're conscious of time, Rick. So I think we've got to go with me. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, not, you know, conscious what? Of the time. This is the derby. You'll know within the first 10 minutes with Spurs, wouldn't you? And with the crowd and everything. Yeah. Look. I wouldn't be upset coming away with a draw. If you offer me a draw, I'd snatch your hand off right now for it. And we can get a battling draw, but it's going to be very, very tough, very tough. I've been very underwhelmed with Spurs in the last 3-4 games, to be honest. I've not seen, apart from that Villa game, I've just not seen anything from us. I've not seen this fabled Ange ball, or, you know, it's just, there's that zip that's just gone out of us. But, you know, look, let's find our mojo Sunday. Let's get in there. It's one, it is just a weird, horrible, funny game. You'd never put it in your acca, would you? If you was a betting person, you never put in this derby in your acca. Turn up Sunday. Come on, we can get a draw. There, that's what a battle cry that is. Come on, pump your chest. Yeah, I'll take a draw.
You know what? It's crazy. I mean, I know that season under Conte where we got beaten by them. I think it definitely still scars us as fans, the players, because like Lee said, it's been few and far between. We've been beaten at home by Arsenal. I mean, Lee, maybe again, I say this, you know, if I asked you this 7 days ago, I think it would be a different maybe feeling around it. But, you know, since those 7 days, you've had back-to-back wins in the Premier League. You've recovered to some degree. What are you going for?
Listen, now,
I have to caveat that and say I've already heard your forever Arsenal prediction.
Yeah,
so I know what you're there.
I'm going to go 2-0 to the Arsenal. I think that, you know, like as Cratch said, I ain't got a clue really. Like, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen really. Like, but we've got to win the game, and I think like the form. I think we're on form. And I just, you know, like, listen, we played really, really well against you boys last season, really, really well. And it was still only 2-0, you know what I mean? Probably could have been more, but it was, you still had chances in that game. If you remember rightly, Aaron Ramsdale made a couple of good saves in that game. So it's going to be I don't see it being like loads of goals, but I think there'd be a few chances. I'll take 2-0. I'll be happy with that.
I bet you bloody will be. Norwood, it's coming out of you, Ricks. Ricks, man, give me a battering cry. Give me something. Give me something, Ricks, because you're back with us after this for Chelsea on bloody next week.
Let's bloody well have it. Well, you know, I'm going to go for a Desmond 2-2, especially going into that 90th minute. And then Werner's going to come off the bench and he's going to score the winner. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be 3-2.
Yeah.
Werner to score the winner.
You just feel like, you know, Spurs need, you know, a result in this could really lift us in terms of between now and the rest of the season. You just feel Spurs need that. And, you know, cracks his mood there. I think that is a lot around the fan base at the moment where they just need something to lift us. And it can take a result like this that changes everything. So it is always a pleasure. Let me just say, Lee, my man, thank you for...
I've enjoyed it, like, you know, thanks for having us on and a good panel as well, like, you know. I can't say it. He was all right.
better than Jason last. Well, better than Jason in August.
I quite like, you know, proper Spurs fan, wasn't he? Like, you know,
yeah,
so
proper Spurs. He doesn't even have a mate that's Arsenal.
Unfortunately, I've got a brother and nephew, so I have to tolerate you lot. Like, you know what I mean? So there you go.
Lee, question for you. If you win this game, do Arsenal go on and win the league?
Yes.
He thought about it.
I think that this week was always the week. This was the week for hell for us. I think Wolves away was tough. Chelsea at home, Spurs away. If we would come out with 9 points of that... I don't think City are the team that they were last season. I think they're not quite, you know. But listen, they've got a nice run of fixtures. I always felt that Liverpool would blow up, but the way that they were playing, a little bit like us last season, a little bit too much. I don't know. We've managed to, look, we can win all five games or whatever, and Manchester City win it. And if they do, you have to hold your hand up and say, if Arsenal were to go and beat Spurs and go and win their next three games, it would be 19 games 17 wins, one draw and a defeat.
And that's
not enough to win you the league. You know what I mean?
There's no other league like it.
What can you do? You know what I mean? If that does happen, like, you know, so, you know, it'd be tough to take, but, you know, we just got to hope that, you know, I've always had a soft spot for Brighton. I don't know about you, God. I love it. Like, it's a lovely place to visit. You know what I mean? Got a lovely pier.
I stuck four past us, obviously, at one point during the season. So I don't know if that's soft with them.
By the way, Lee, think yourself lucky that you've only got a brother and nephew that support Spurs. I had a great granddad that played for your lot. How bad's that?
No, that's good, isn't it?
No.
Lee, very quickly, mate. Where can all these Spurs fans find
you? Nowhere. Don't worry about it. I don't want to come over there being abused and slagged off. Fine. You're fine where you are. Keep. You're fine. You're fine.
Nothing personal, released here, I can tell you. I want to say, Rick's, thank you so much, my man. Love having you on, mate. Going to be a big game, right? Massive, massive game for the club.
Massive game. Always a battle, like I've said. And you know what? Like Lee was just saying there, you know, painfully, I've got to say, it wasn't that bad. I thought we was going to kick off tonight, man. But it's not been that bad. It's been a nice debate. It's been a nice discussion. And I'm just saying, if I had a nephew called Perez, it'd be disowned. I'm just letting you know. always a pleasure. Can't wait for the game. Come on, you Spurs.
Bless you, my man. And Cracks, like you said, a big, big game. A result here could really change the mood, right, between now and, of course, the remaining games of the season for Tottenham.
Oh, absolutely it can. Yeah. It's, you know, you're up there with it or you're down there, isn't it? It's shit or bust one, isn't it? It's just going to give you the rest of the week and the month and everything else, isn't it? So let's see. By the way, I'm at Mr. Cracknell on the socials if you're Arsenal and looking. Come and see me. I'm always...
You don't mind.
I always like to hear from you, yeah. Right? when they come for me, because I'm at Mr. Cracknell on the socials. But as I always say, Rick, I'm a Rosemary McDonald on Mum's Net. I'm a busy housewife from Cleethorpes on now. Don't tell anyone.
Well, look, guys, if the game is as good as the debate, we're in for a great one. Look, I think everyone knows it's one of those games where you're literally going to the dentist. I don't think anyone can enjoy this until it's over. And I think, like Lee said earlier, if your team's come out on top, you're just on a high. So it's a big, big game. I want to say a massive thank you to our watching audience. But over 2,500 of you that watched this live again, thank you so much for all your incredible support for Last One on Spurs. It's greatly appreciated. From myself, from Cracks, from the wonderful Ricky J. Nord, from the brilliant Lee Judges, we've been the Last One on Spurs. Please keep safe, keep well. We're back with you after full time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.